things to apply as we get into the study. We left off talking about Peter when he was fishing, and he realized it was the Lord that was on the shore, and he grabbed his fisher's coat, his coat, put it on him, because the Bible says he was naked. And that's kind of where we want to pick up tonight, the thought of what is nakedness according to the Word of God. In Genesis chapter number 3 and in verse number 21, it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them." Coats of skins and clothed them. Again, we started talking last week that after sin in the fall, one of the first issues that manifested itself was that of clothing. If you remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, they realized that they were naked. And so they took, and they well, you know what they took. What did they take? Fig leaves, right? And they sewed them together. And again, trying to cover their shame and their sin. But their aprons, if you want to call them that, would have covered, no doubt, their loins. It would have covered it would have left their thighs, their chest exposed. And here's something I want you to consider as we get into the study tonight, that Adam thought that was a good plan. That was Adam's attempt. And Adam, I think we probably, you might want to debate this, and if you do, it's fine, but Adam was, in my opinion, probably, if not the one of the most brilliant men that's ever lived on this earth. Amen. He was created perfectly. He would have had quite the mind. I mean, can you imagine if it was given your job to name the animals, right? I would have run out of names very quickly. But Adam obviously is created in the image of God, and what Adam and who he was, and I believe he was created with some knowledge, some wisdom. He was able to think. But here, one of the most probably brilliant men that's ever lived, his standard and his reasoning wasn't God's. And I say that because there is a heavenly standard for modesty, and your reasoning and my reasoning and what I think about it and what you think about it doesn't matter. Even Adam, who had to be one of the most brilliant people, his own plan, God said no. And what God taught in his very first lesson is that nakedness must be covered. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 21, the Bible simply says that God clothed them. God's clothing covered their nakedness. So whatever God did, it did the job correctly. Now, according to chapter 3 and verse number 21, God made them what? Coats. Coats of skin. And we know what else was taking place, that God had that animal sacrifice, but the coats of skin. He did not make an apron. He did not, and on purpose, did not just cover, you know, the loins and such, but he made coats. That same word is in Isaiah chapter 22 and verse number 21 in our Bibles, the word robe. But in either way, it's where we kind of ended up last week. It was that, as the Lord said, his coat was made there at crucifixion. And the Bible makes a point to describe his coat, that it was one piece woven together. And I tried to describe it best I could as like a very large T-shirt, right? Now, that's probably inadequate, but you get the idea there, all right? It wasn't several pieces of garment put together. It was one flowing, and it was like it would be like what we would see as a T-shirt. They would then use what was called a girdle. A belt, all right? And they would gird that together. They would have on, and we'll look at it in just a second, men would have on breeches underneath, all right? They would wear that to cover their nakedness. That's what I believe when the Bible says that Peter, when he heard that Jesus and realized it was Jesus on shore, he put his coat on because he was naked. I don't believe just in saying, you know, he had zero clothes on fishing. That don't even make sense. That's just weird, right? But I believe he did have those breeches on. But when he realized it was the Lord, he basically was going shirtless. That was naked. That was nakedness. And he put on that coat. But here, it's that garment. They would have the belt or girdle. And again, with the breeches on underneath. And so that when they had to work or go into war, they were able to gird up their loins, or they would take that longer rope and they would tuck it into their girdle, their belt, and then they would go to war. But underneath, they would have their breeches on. That would cover their nakedness. God would never want them to be naked. To be properly clothed, and I'll just make the statement and then we'll build on it tonight, but to be properly clothed, the thighs, the trunk, the chest, basically from your neck down to your knees need to be covered. Amen. Look at some verses with me real quick. All right? Look at Isaiah chapter number 47. And again, you say, well, that's not what I believe. And don't take this the wrong way. It doesn't matter what you believe. You say, well, that's not what I choose to do. Well, all that should matter is what does the Bible say. I don't want to do anything because Travis Burke thinks so, because I'm a very flawed human being, all right? But I do expect us to look at the Word of God, and whatever the Word of God says, we should yield to that. Isaiah chapter 47. Look with me in verse number 1 in Isaiah chapter 47. It says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Now, this is talking about the Chaldeans are going to be judged. The Babylonians are going to be fleeing for the judgment that was coming upon them. But in verse number 2, take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. So God here says that the revealing of the leg, making bare the leg, and uncovering the thigh is nakedness. Amen. I'm not asking you to support me. That's what the Bible says. So be it. Amen. Making bare the leg, uncovering the thigh, according to the Word of God, uncovering of the thigh is nakedness. You'll read a lot about nakedness in the Bible, and it sometimes, I'm sure it does, but it doesn't always mean that they had zero clothes on. Most of the time, it doesn't mean they had zero clothes on. But when it says nakedness, it's referring to the fact that what God said needs to be covered was not covered. And that was nakedness. That was shameful. I will say this real quick, that when God clothed Adam and Eve, he clothed them in modesty and nakedness in the same way. He gave them both coats. All right? I say that because, you know, some people think, you know, a guy, he can show off his chest. Nope, not according to God. That is just as naked as if a lady would. Amen. You say, but our culture doesn't, I don't care what culture says. Hear me on this statement. The Bible trumps culture every time. You say, well, that's just the culture of this people or the culture of that people. The Bible trumps culture every time. They both were covered the same amount. God doesn't have one standard of nakedness for a man and another standard of nakedness for a woman. Both are the same. Amen. In the same way that a man should not show off his trunk and his chest, a woman should not show off her thighs. Her back. Those were to be covered. To not cover those is nakedness. So I can say from the Word of God, I believe that most, you know, agree in this auditorium, and I know, but we're going over things because if we don't give the more earnest heed, what will happen? They will begin to slip. So we need to stop. And again, no matter where you are on this, I just ask you to take a deep breath and see where God is on this. And again, apply whatever we see from the Word of God. So from the chest to the thighs, it's nakedness, which means this, that a short skirt reveals nakedness. A slit that goes that knee and above is showing nakedness. Oh, no, you didn't amen me as much there, all right? A low blouse reveals nakedness. A backless shirt reveals nakedness. Cuts in a shirt reveal nakedness. Swimsuits reveal nakedness. Amen. Because God said that it is naked. Basically, from hand to hand, my knee's right there. I'm a little bit below my knee. Did you hear that? I'm a little bit below my knee. It's nakedness, according to God. Let me give you some other verses. Turn over to Exodus chapter number 28. Exodus chapter 28. Where's my little wireless at? Am I now?
Right there.
It's on the... Where?
Oh, is it?
There it is.
I'm going to put this on because I'm going to have to move. Makes it more exciting, right?
Right.
Put this on. I was just giving you time to turn, all right? Exodus chapter number 28. Exodus 28, look with me in verse number 40. Exodus chapter 28, verse number 40, real quick. It says this, "And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, the belt, the bonnet, the hat, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with them, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they might minister unto me in the priest's office." By the way, they dressed a certain way, not to please people,
right,
not to serve people, but because they were serving God.
Right.
And it says in verse 42, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches," talking about these men. And by the way, breeches are only talked about with men. Amen. I love preaching on this topic. Just kidding. I don't. Like, this one, I talked to a preacher last night. He was going to preach at a big preacher's fellowship in the state of Washington, Brother Tyler. And he was heading out there, and he said there's going to be like 50 preachers there. And he said, I just hope I don't make anybody upset. And I told him, I said, well, I'll just preach on the Bride of Christ, dress and music, and you'll be fine. He said, I can't stand you. All right, but... All right, but anyways, breeches, right, to cover their what? Nakedness. Now, lest anyone be confused, he defines it. From the loins, even unto the thighs, shall they reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and his daughters. No. Right? And his sons. Now, again, look at nakedness. From the loins, even to the thighs. God defines it from the waist to the knees. Need to be covered. Amen. I know. Trust me. All right? But that's what the Bible says. Well, I just don't see it that way. Well, then you see it wrong. That's what it says. From the loins to the thighs is nakedness. And God never changed the definition of nakedness from Genesis to Revelation. Matter of fact, He talks about it in the same way, in the same context, completely throughout. From the loins unto the thighs, that is nakedness. That's what the breeches were to cover. That is why
when our boys play basketball, they wear long pants. That's why the girls wear the skirts and the coverings that they do, because we don't want to reveal anything that God defines as nakedness. Now, again, all right, let's just be real and just be friendly people here, right? All right? We all love each other, amen?
Amen.
Good, all right? Some of you didn't amen because you're worried about what I'm about to say, all right? All right? But the fact is, all right, God expects, all right, for our nakedness to be covered. All right? And so, you know, if I, Matthew, come here. He is so scared right now, all right? Take your coat off, man. It's not like you wrinkled your ironed your shirt or anything, all right? All right. No, I want your coat. Give me your coat. Yeah, I want your coat, man. No, you're good. You're good. All right? Here you go. Put on your... Here you go. Nice. All right? Nice. All right, come on. All right, stand up there. Keep your coat on. What are you doing? All right? All right, so nakedness covered? Again, we're not going any other illustrations with this. All right, we are right here. Amen. Now sit down.
Sit down.
Just sit down on the thing. Yeah. When you sit, it rides up, right? It goes up. Stand up. I'm gonna tighten this on you a little bit there, buddy. All right, stand in front of me, please. All right, very nice. All right, you're working now. Take a big step. Boom. When you take steps, it's gonna ride up a little bit.
What about running?
When you run, it's gonna ride up a little bit. When you sit down, it's going to ride up a little bit. Right? So if we adjust this, let's lift your coat. I mean, we're going to be a good fundamental independent Baptist Christian. We're going right to the top of the knee. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Take a step. Uh-oh.
It rose up.
Uh-oh. You sit down, what happens? If you're right there, what are you doing? Now, what happens? Thank you, brother. You see, but it's just that much. God didn't say that much is okay. I mean, you wouldn't have that qualification for anything else, right? Well, it's just a little bit of pornography, right? It's just a little bit of alcohol,
right?
It's just a little bit of meth, right? Just a little bit of lying. I don't care, fill in the blank, whatever sin. It's still wrong. God said that's nakedness. And so that's why, again, can I look at him? Lift it up a little bit so you're right on the line, buddy. You never wore a skirt and shirts, have you? All right. It's right on the line. All right? Then, stand up here. Now that they can see you, right? Whoa. See what happened there? I'm serious. Did you see what happened there? When you go up on the choir, ladies? Did you see what happened there? Amen. Whoa, you have gone way. Whoa, buddy. All right. All right, ready? That's nakedness. That's nakedness, according to God.
Right.
Yep. You say, well, that's not. No. It's not. But walk up the step, please. Pretend. Just walk up a step. That is.
Right.
I'm not going to have you run, but that is.
Right.
Well, no one does that. There's a lot of things the world does that we just know. And I'm trying to make a point here. You say, well, my shorts, Y'all understand why they're called that, right? Why they're called shorts?
Yeah,
they're because there's pants and there's shorts. They're short pants.
Right.
Which means that when they wear them here, they're short.
Right. Right.
And, you know, if these pants are called long pants, the pants.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
They're long pants. If they were cut off here, we wouldn't have them standing here, but they would be shorts. That's why they're called that. And so, ladies, when your dress or your skirt goes right there to your knee, it's called short. Amen? I know it's all logical, but amen.
Right.
See, do I have to wear them down to my feet? Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
It doesn't say it. I mean, my pants, they're long pants I have on. Bible doesn't say they have to touch my shoes. I could lift them up a little bit. I ain't going to do it because my socks don't go up that far, right? But I'm not. But the fact is this, all right? It wouldn't be nakedness if I wore the pants to here. It wouldn't. But the moment, you catch me? This is what you got to get a hold of. The moment it goes above where my knee is,
right,
that's nakedness to God.
Right.
So why would I want to wear something where I keep crossing that line? And I'll give you the answer. Because you want to. Because human logic, just reading the Bible and taking it for what it says, yeah, that's nakedness. And if I show that, I'm showing nakedness. Because that's what God said. Loins to the thigh. That's what He said. So anything that we show is nakedness. Now again, I'm not mad at anybody. Smiles. I'm not holding that against anybody. But I'm just presenting the truth. Now you need to make a decision.
Right.
I'm just giving you what the Bible says.
Right.
I'm not giving you my opinion, because my opinion would be that guys should always wear long pants. That's my preference, but that is not a biblical standard.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
I don't have a command for that.
Right.
But I do have a command that anything that crosses this knee is nakedness. So why in the world would I want a pair of whatever you call them, capris or whatever else is weird, all right, that goes halfway down if it's going to show that? I should never want to show that. Ladies, any time that your skirt goes above that knee, yay, the middle of that knee, you're going to be showing your nakedness. You will be. And you know that. You know that, and I'm not being mean, I'm just trying to present the truth. You know that because you're constantly pulling that down. You know that because when you sit down, you put your coat over your legs. That's why I'm cold. No, you're cold. You wear your coat. You put that over because you know. And if you ask the Holy Spirit tonight, He'll confirm that's nakedness. But we just don't want to do it because we don't want to. Or we like the attention that it draws. It's comfortable. Well, it'd be much more comfortable to me sitting in a recliner tonight than being at church. But comfort is not why I live my life. I live my life for the Lord. You say, but it's hot in the summer, right? It's hot in the summer. I'm just talking as a guy, right? I have worn pants all my life through every summer of my existence. I've never died. I've never had heat exhaustion. I've gotten really thirsty before, but I was okay. I have survived. I played 11 years of basketball, and we were always the weird school. Sadly, none of the schools do it anymore, but we were the weird school that always wore the long pants. I never died on a basketball court. When it comes down to I just want to glorify God, this becomes a very easy thing. When it comes down to I just don't want to offend God, this becomes an easy thing. And so men, when you choose what you put on, understand. You say, well, they're right here. They're covering the top of my knee. I'm good. Then don't move. You better be standing still all day. Amen? Well, lady says, well, it's right there in the middle of my knee. Then you better not sit down. And someone who wants to ride the edge and has a desire to do that shows you have a heart problem. Now, some maybe just haven't been taught or haven't thought through it or haven't. But those who know and have heard and say, well, I'm still doing it. Ladies, when you walk up on this platform and you stand to sing, whatever level you have that on, when you're on the platform, it's a good inch higher to everyone else. So, nakedness, thanks. Nakedness is, again, something we have to be very, we should not want any part of it. You say, well, what is too short? Again, we read in Isaiah chapter 47 when the Babylonians were leaving and fleeing, all right? That they making bare the leg, uncovering the thigh. Proverbs chapter number 7 and verse number 10 talks about the attire of a harlot. Now, it doesn't define the attire of a harlot in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 10. It just says the attire of a harlot. And the fact is this, that the attire of a harlot back then, they wouldn't have wore a miniskirt.
Right. That's right.
They didn't have miniskirts, right? In the times of Solomon, right, there wasn't the, you know, the modest section and the miniskirt section at the store, right? There was no miniskirts. The attire of a harlot had to be something that would have been covering, but had a way through cuts and slits of showing and advertising what she was. So when she walked, when she sat, when she moved, it would be a way of showing her nakedness and advertising. Again, in John chapter number 21, when Peter threw on that coat, I don't believe he was sitting on the boat completely without any clothes on, but his chest would have been bare. His back was bare. His trunk was bare. And the Holy Spirit said, that's nakedness. In Luke chapter number 8, and verse 26 and 27, when the demoniac of Gadara, when they first came upon him, the Bible says that he was naked. Now, could have been without any clothing, possibly. Demonic activity can make people do a lot of very bad things. But this I know, that in verse number 35 of Luke chapter number 8, after that man got saved, the Bible says he was sitting with Jesus in his right mind, clothed. Clothed. Nakedness is a sign, and it's always, and I'll talk about this in a little bit, It's always attached and will be many times with idolatry. One of the first mentionings after Genesis, when you come across, remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he came down, they heard the music and the dancing, and all of Israel had given Aaron all their golden earrings and they made a golden calf. And all the people were dancing around it. But catch what it says in Exodus chapter number 38 and verse number 25. That they were naked. They were naked. Now, I do not think, and it could be, and I can't prove this either way, but I don't think that they had zero clothes on dancing around a golden calf. But God said they were naked. Their chest, back, trunk, loins, thighs were being exposed. God said that was nakedness. I again would ask you the question, why would you want to push the edge on this? And again, there's some that don't know, some that maybe are learning, and that's great. We're all still learning stuff. I told somebody the other day, they said, you know, why I have a higher standard than you in some other area. I was like, amen. I want to know why, and I want to study it out. If that's something that God wants for me, I want to do it. And he goes, Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I said, but I just want to remind you too, God has a higher standard than you do. I don't care where we draw the line. We don't understand holiness like God does. But our desires should be to be as holy as we possibly can. But someone who will say, I don't want to do it, or I like wearing my shorts right there at the top of my knee, or I like wearing my skirts that way, or if my slit goes halfway up my thigh, that's someone else's problem. No, that shows you have a heart problem. It shows that you're fleshly. It shows that you're carnal. It shows that you're not acting godly and you're disobedient. Because that's what the Bible says, is nakedness. You say, well, there's a whole lot of preachers that disagree with you on a lot of things. And again, I'm not the standard. You have no idea how much ridicule and scorn I get over these messages. Usually not from the here. But you can type my name in a Google search bar and put Travis Burke, pastor, and dress. You're going to hear a lot of people making fun of all, and probably this will show up. Say, why are you doing it again? Because I know it's right from the Word of God. And here's what I say to them. They'll sit there and they'll make fun of something that I say or something that I said or some principle that I laid out. And I always just tell them, here's my Bible verse. Show me yours. They'll say, it's ridiculous that a man can't wear a pair of shorts or if a girl's skirt goes a little bit above her knee. They'll just say, and here's what they would say, you're just lustful. I'm not being lustful. I'm just telling what the Bible says. And I just sit there and say, there's my verse. That's what God said nakedness is. Show me your verse where it's okay. Show me your verse that defines nakedness from God. And if you are like, I'm just not doing this, then show me your verse where your definition of nakedness comes from. I'm all for learning the Bible. Show me your verse. And again, I know it's a big decision. And again, I started out last week saying, dress is not the end all. It's not. You know, someone walks in Sunday and they're not dressed according to what's being preached. Okay. There may be church members that are, you know, they totally don't agree. You know, you say, are you going to be mad at them? No. Little newsflash. Churches are for the perfecting of the saints. Which implies there will always be immature people in the church. And there is a thing called progressive sanctification until we get to heaven. Which implies me and you haven't arrived yet. We're all learning. So we have to, again, but what God does present to us, we need to look at and take it very seriously. We don't want to live in our flesh, and I know it's a big decision, and all I'm asking you is to take the Word of God and study it out. You say, well, again, that's just, you know, some cultures, that's for them. Again, Bible trumps culture. And I would remind you real quick, if you say, that's just our culture, it's accepted. Your culture also accepts sodomy.
Right. Amen.
Your culture also accepts abortion.
That's right.
Just because a cultural thing doesn't mean it's right. Look over in Revelation chapter number 3 real quick. The Laodicean church is known for being what? Lukewarm, right? God said you're neither hot nor cold. And Revelation chapter number 3 says in verse number 16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and what? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. White representing righteousness, all right? And again, in the New Testament, that nakedness would be covered. And those that don't want to cover that shows that in this area, there's a lukewarmness because you're identifying with the Laodicean church. Let's just be very blunt at the typical church today, and even unfortunately Independent Baptist Church, nakedness is not even considered. They come, I mean, look on Facebook and see, you know, youth activities and church activities and church picnics. Just being really blunt, there's a whole lot of nakedness according to God's standard. Now again, there probably always will be people. You know, I told you this before. My wife and I visited a family that visited. This has been 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And I sat in their living room and, you know, thanked them for coming. And they said, well, we have an issue. And I said, well, what's the issue? They said, we're not sure about joining because there are some people in the church that we saw there that weren't dressed according to what we know you preach. And I said, I know, isn't it awesome? And they're like, what? I said, that's great. That means they're new Christians and they're growing and they haven't learned things yet. I'm glad we're not a bunch of stale sitting around. We've arrived and no one else is allowed in. If a church is healthy, there's always going to be immature Christians. That's called soul winning. That's called the Great Commission. You teach salvation, you baptize, and then teaching them to observe what? All things, including this. That will take time. And we have to give that time. Sadly, today it's not even considered. I always go to the July 4th Blanchester Parade because it's awesome and you get lots of candy. And we always sit there and it's always just like, you know, 8 businesses and 32 churches. And we sit there and we watch. And using God's standards here, it's a shame. It's a shame. Can I give you these things in closing? Nakedness in the Bible is associated with... Now write these things down. Nakedness is associated with sin. The very first mention in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, there was nakedness because of sin. Secondly, nakedness is associated with shame. Not just in Genesis, but we read several other passages, and there's more. Do a word search. Nakedness and shame in the Word of God. It's a shameful thing. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 10. We could go to all kinds of other verses. Exodus 32:25, Isaiah 20 verse number 4, Isaiah 47 verse number 3. But nakedness and shame are connected together, associated with together. Nakedness is associated with spirits. Demonic working. Nakedness and demonic... You don't think there was demonic working in the Garden of Eden with the fall? The devil was there himself. We've already mentioned Luke chapter number 8 when the maniac of Gadara, who was thousands of demons, he sat there for years naked. I'll give you one more. Acts chapter number 19, verse number 16. Let me read that verse to you. It's not as familiar. Acts chapter 19... And in verse number 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked. Nakedness is associated with sin and shame and spirits. It's also associated with shadiness. That's my word to use. Say, what do you mean shadiness? Genesis chapter number 9, when it came to alcohol, the very first mention of alcohol, the result of that very first mention of alcohol was a man of God. Unfortunately, his nakedness was seen. In Ezekiel chapter 23 and verse number 29, adulteries and whoredoms are associated with nakedness. Again, in Revelation chapter number 3, a lukewarmness, I put for alliteration, an averageness, if that's a word. But the lukewarmness is associated with nakedness. I'm not going to go through this list, but there are a lot of other abominations that are associated with nakedness, such as in Exodus chapter 32, idolatry, such as Leviticus chapter number 18, incest. pagan worship is always associated with nakedness. So my only goal tonight was just to define what the Bible says is nakedness. And to leave that in our laps to pray about and continue to study. To find out, what does God say about this? I'm going to go to the other side now. You say, well, I dress correctly, and I've got all this nailed down. Brother Mike Hayes was a man of God in Oklahoma, and he talked about that mentality where people, you start looking around, and when you come to activities and services in church, you start examining everybody's clothing, and it becomes a god to you, and it can be. It can. So, well, it's right to do. It is. But you shouldn't be obsessed with one area to where you lose track of every other area either. And Brother Mike Hayes said this statement, I loved it. He said, there's a lot of spiritual peeking Toms looking up others' robes of righteousness. That's an awesome statement. There are many spiritual peeking Toms looking up others' robes of righteousness. Don't be judgmental. Don't have this attitude like, well, look, so-and-so, they weren't dressed right. Well, pray for them. And love them. Love them. Anyone that has a position at church, and that when we have anything going on at the church, you should be dressed correctly according to what's preached. Any activity we have, anything we go to. Now, I was very precise in my words. So what if they don't agree with everything on their own personal life? That's called being a church member and imperfect, and let's just let God continue to work and speak to hearts. And I get it, I made a very bold statement right there. But I haven't arrived, and neither have you. And if we start nitpicking everything, we all have some serious issues. Just by the time we're done in the next few weeks on this area, we all have things to get right. So we have to be very careful about that legalism that some people like to call it, to where we think that, you know, we're earning some favor with God. But I close with this statement because I think it's also another great statement. I didn't come up with it. That's why I can brag on it. It wasn't my statement, but I thought it was great. He said, well, that's not what I want to do, and that's not my preference. Here's the statement. I thought it was just a powerful statement. Preference is the altar on which the holiness of God has been sacrificed in the day in which we live. And I'm going to say that again. Preference is the altar on which the holiness of God has been sacrificed in the day in which we live. We have made preference the standard. Preference is not the standard. This is the standard. And to anyone that would say, well, I don't want to do that, I just again would lay this down and say, then show me why you do what you do. The Bible says to prove all things. Prove all things. Well, I don't have an issue wearing my, you know, shorts 2 inches above my knee. I don't have an issue wearing a skirt, you know, an inch above my knee. I don't have an issue as a guy taking my shirt off and going fishing or working. Well, I just ask you, right, show me that in the Bible. Just show me that. And great. Right here, showing, because I've already shown you where God defined these things. So I just ask you to show me. Because the Bible says you need to prove all things. And the burden of proof is on you. And again, I don't think I'm anything special, and God is still working on me, and I have things. Even in studying this, there are things that God said, all right, you need to improve on this. And I hope that never stops in my life. And again, there's a whole lot of different practices in this auditorium tonight. A whole lot. A whole lot. And I love every one of us, and I just hope we'll all take this thing and start studying it and then make the decision the Holy Spirit shows us is right. Because here's the one thing that I can rest it all on. If you're saved, you and I have the same Holy Spirit. And He will not direct me and you in two different ways. So if we come to two totally different opinions, one of us aren't listening to the Holy Spirit. That makes sense, right? One of us. So I'll search my heart, you search yours, in accordance to the Word of God.